bit smaller than that. And welcome to our evening service. It's good to have you with us this evening. And if you're visiting, great to have you. If you come here regularly, great to see you again. And if you're watching online, we just trust that you'll be blessed through our service this evening again. We are very thankful to Philip Agnew. We appreciate his word this morning, and we look forward to hearing him again tonight. Do pray for Philip and Rachel as they serve the Lord in Southeast Antrim area for CEF. There are some leaflets and information that Philip has left, and they're on the display board. Please take them and pray for the work of CEF. Tuesday, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting at 7:30. And the speaker this week is Mr. David Good. Then next Sunday, we have our services at the normal times of 11 in the morning and 6 p.m. in the evening. And our speaker at both of those services is Leslie Reed from One Mission Society. A couple of other announcements. First of all, if you didn't lift one of the Caleb bulletins this morning, please take it on the way out and pray for the work of the organization as they try and uphold Christian standards in today's society. The envelopes are still there, so again, if you haven't lifted them, please take them. Even if you give online, just take the envelopes. We've had to print them anyway, so it'll get them off our hands. And just some sort of heads up that Northfield Bible Week will be held down in Newcastle from the 7th of July to the 14th. And Lawrence Kennedy is the main speaker. And you can have one of those little leaflets on the display board just to stick in your Bible or wherever to remind you that this is coming up. These are all the announcements, and of course they're made God willing. And I'm going to ask David to lead us off in prayer this evening.
Let's pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. The privilege is ours to come here tonight, Lord. And we just want to say thank you again for this morning's message, that we were dead in trespasses and sins. But we thank you, and our testimony is, but God. But we thank you that God commended of love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, we can't work it out. We can't understand it. We have to take it in childlike faith. So tonight, Father, we're here thanking you for what your Son done for us. And we know that he has been tempted in all points like us. We're not a high priest. He's been tempted like us with failings and infirmities. But at all points, he's been tempted as we were, but yet without sin. We come tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. And we just ask from the outset of this meeting tonight, Lord our God, that you will take control of it with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would save sinners tonight. Lord, we know that the enemy is cute and deceitful. He come to steal, he come to kill, and come to destroy. But Father, we thank you that your Son came to give life and life more abundant. Lord, and I just pray for any dear soul in here tonight that's searching for the King of Kings, Lord, but you just work in their hearts, Father. We have a great message of hope tonight, that the hope is in Christ Jesus. Father, we just ask you would undertake tonight for our brother Philip once again, Lord. Your word tells us, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto myself. So, Father, once again, as we are here tonight to sing your praises for what you've done in our lives, your great testimony in our lives of what you've done, Father. Father, would you hide Philip again tonight, our brother, behind that cross tonight, Lord. And as we continue now to sing your praises and to open your word in truth, Lord, would this just be a blessed night, and we'd be very careful to bring you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. So, Father, just be one of our number tonight now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you here at church tonight. I wasn't supposed to be on my own tonight, but unfortunately, Louise's wee fella isn't well, so she had to stay at home and look after him. So, you're stuck with me again, I'm afraid. The first two songs we do, we're going to be standing for them both, so and then we'll sit down for the offering one, which is the third hymn. So this first one is a good old country favourite. I'm sure you all know it. I Saw the Light. You're one tonight that can sing that in truth, that you have indeed saw the light. This next one is going to sing, I Lift My Hands to the Coming King.
Yeah.
Amen. That's great singing. You can sit down now. During this next song, the offering will be lifted. So get your money out. Empty those heavy handbags and those heavy pockets which have been loading you down all week. If you're anything like me, they're not too heavy. But we give what we can unto God anyway. This one we're going to sing is Ascribe Greatness to Our God the Rock. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God of faithfulness. You can be perfectly faithful to us, Lord, while we may not be so faithful to you. And Lord, we pray every day, Lord, that you will guide us in your way, Lord, that you will show us what you would have us to do. Lord, we thank you for the offering here tonight, Lord. It may be small, Lord. And compared to what we get from you, it is minuscule. But Lord, we just thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us every day, Lord. For the food that we eat and the clothes that we wear, Lord. And the families that we have, Lord. Lord, we thank you most of all, Lord, just for your greatest gift you could ever give, Lord. The gift of your own Son, who was given for our sin. There was no other way to make us clean, Lord, than to send your Son, who was spotless and perfect, to die in our place. And Lord, we pray that you will use this small token of what we have brought tonight, Lord, that you will use it mightily, Lord, for your work. And Lord, that you will bless it, Lord, to the utmost. We ask this in your name. Amen. This next song wasn't chosen by me, it was chosen by Louise, so this is actually my first time singing it, so if I get it wrong, please forgive me, but I'm sure you all know it because we've sung it before. It's O Lord, My Rock and My Redeemer.
Oh,
Amen. You may be seated. That's my lot finished. I've just looked through and found out already. It must have been very short tonight. Just before Philip comes up to speak, we'll just bow in prayer. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your servant tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for his time growing up in this church, Lord. We thank you for the ministry that he received here, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that he's bestowing upon us tonight, Lord, as well as this morning. Lord, we thank you for his message this morning, Lord. Something wrong if it didn't touch any of our hearts, Lord. But we pray, Lord, that you'll have the same effect tonight, Lord, that what Philip says will come straight from you, and that our hearts will be opened so that we may receive some new truths or things that we just may have forgotten about or let go in our lives. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will bless Philip now, Lord, that you'd move within him, Lord, and move within this church. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Good evening. Lovely to see you back in the Lord's house this evening. We're turning to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. And we'll go here and look at this portion of scripture for the time that we have remaining in the service. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We appreciate, as I said this morning, for all your support as a church and also as individually. And we really do appreciate that. And please keep praying for the work. As Billy's already alluded to, our prayer letter is down at the back there. So please take that with you. And please pray for the work here in Southeast Antrim. Pray for the committee as well. And pray for the children that are being reached. We estimate that there's about 11,000 to 12,000 children in schools in Southeast Antrim. So, as you can see, there's a great spiritual need, as I spoke about this morning. So please pray that for those children and for young people. And we just look to the Lord in these days. Romans chapter 1, we're starting at verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, all mercy, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them who do them. And we know God will bless his word to our hearts this evening. Paul in Romans chapter 1 paints a picture of a courtroom. As you know, a courtroom, I don't know where you've ever been in one. Thankfully, I haven't. But in a courtroom, we notice five things. We have a judge. We have the accused. We have the charge. We have the verdict. And we have the sentence. That's what courtrooms have. And in verse 18, we see the judge in Paul's courtroom. Verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So who is this judge in verse 18? Well, we can see that this judge is God. And in verse 20, we learn some of the characteristics of this judge. This judge is eternal. We see that this judge is the all-powerful one. And we also notice that he is the creator. Paul is saying to us, look around you. You can see that God exists. Psalm 19:1 says, for the heavens declare the glory of God. Many in our world today believe that our world and our universe came into being by a chance and then developed through a process of evolution. We know that that viewpoint is silly. It's wrong. It goes against what the Word of God teaches us, that God is the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what the Word of God states. That's what the book of Genesis states. It points to a creator, God. I'm keeping an eye on this clock at the back, but it's a bit like if that, I know that that clock at the back of this church has been made. I know that there's been an intellect, mind has had to create that. I know that there's hands have had to put that together. Now, clock didn't just leap onto the wall. If that clock was to come down into many, many pieces, that clock's not getting back onto the wall. You have to put the parts together. You have to put the face back on. You have to put the components on the back of it. That clock is created. That clock has been made by somebody. You see, friends, you only have to look at a watch and realize that it could not come back together by chance. Look around you, friends. I remember when I was in the BB here, And we would have went up the Mourns and camped over at Tullymore and what have you. And you went round the Mourns and it was beautiful. The mountains, the lovely hillsides, the grass, the meadows. Points to a creator. It points to the glory of God. When we look at this universe, we see the amazing complexity and the beauty and the perfect order of our world pointing to a creator. Why does the sun not burn us up? Because it's a safe distance away. Did that just happen by chance? Was the sun put a certain distance away just by chance? No. It had to be designed that way. It had to be created that way. How amazing that seemingly intelligent people look at the wonders of the world, they look at the Mourne Mountains, and believe that all this came together by an accident. Paul says it is foolish to believe such a thing, because all the evidence around us points to a creator God. We all know what's right, and we all know what's wrong. You look at your conscience. Again, your conscience points to a creator God. You know what's right, and you know what's wrong. And friends, the fact that God is the great creator, that entitles him to be a judge. That entitles him to be our judge this evening. But I want you to notice something else here, because in verse 18, it talks about the wrath of God. And when wrath is mentioned, we think of an intense anger. And Paul, in these verses, is describing how God feels about the wrong things in our world. You see, God is holy. And when we're in Good News Club and we're teaching the children and we're trying to explain what holy means, we say 100% good. God is 100% good. He is the perfect one. You see, because of God's purity and God's holiness, he is full of wrath against sin. Some will argue and say, well, God is a God of love. We don't like to see God in that light. But that's part of God's character. Yes, God is a God of love, but the wrath is part of his character. He is the great judge. And he is angry at the wrong things that are in the world. The sinful things. People go on their own way. So God is the judge that Paul mentions in Romans chapter 1. But I want you to notice, secondly, that there's the accused. The accused. It's very clear in these verses that we have read this evening that the accused is all mankind. You see, everyone is facing the judgment of God. You see, friends, many will argue a case for evolution. Others will argue a case for there being no God. But the fact of the matter is this. People will use these arguments as smokescreens. They will use these arguments as smokescreens because they think that if they don't believe in God, then they can't be accountable to him. Friends, in the meeting this evening, whatever your belief system is, whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever smokescreen you are hiding behind, no less, every person in this world is accountable to God. Remember, he is the creator who has made all things. And the Bible has laid down his standards for how we should live our lives. Because he has made us, because he has created us, God is perfectly entitled to tell us how we should live. We have been put on this earth to obey and bring glory to God's name. So we know that God is the judge. We know that we are the accused. But thirdly, I want you to notice the charge placed against us. The charge placed against us. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 has the answer. Paul here sets out the charge very clearly. That people are accused of ungodliness and unrighteousness. And in verse 25 we read, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, in verse 25 we learn that people have begun to worship created things instead of worshiping the one who created everything. This word worshipped in this verse is implying that something is put in the place of God and is worshipped. Maybe someone in the meeting this evening is like that. Maybe other things have become more important in your life than God. Maybe other things in your life are ahead of God. Maybe those other things are stopping you coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him to save you. Maybe it's your possessions. It could be legitimate things like your family, your friends. Maybe it's your wealth. Maybe it's your status in the community. Maybe it's your social life. Maybe these things are stopping you coming to God. So many people in our world today center their lives around making money. The world is money driven. To have the best home, to have the best car, to have the best business, to have the great holidays. All these things are examples of what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 1. Living your life. And I don't care. People, as I've already said, are guilty of worshiping the created things instead of worshiping the Creator. And God is angry at such behavior. God wants first place in our lives. God doesn't want to be in second place or third place. God wants to be first in your life. And then Paul goes on to speak about another sin that is very common today, sexual immorality. It seems to be in society that we live that anything goes. Anything's the norm. You know, friends, in verse 26 and 27, it reads this, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. You see, in verse 26 and 27, Paul speaks about vile passions, making particular reference to homosexuality. And of course, today, those who speak the truth are hated for it. We have the woke left shouting and screaming about calling this thing out for being wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Just like adultery's wrong. Just like stealing's wrong. Just like lying's wrong. These things are sin. But sadly, many people today excuse this. Many people try to excuse it today, God's word makes it clear. The first man and the first woman, the first marriage was between Adam and Eve. God made Adam and God made Eve. You see, friends, the Bible clearly says that it's against nature. That's what the Word of God states. The Word of God says it's not normal. God condemns all sexual immorality. And that also includes the thoughts as well as the actions. I wonder this evening, friends, are you guilty of feeding your mind with things which are impure and displeasing to God? What kind of things do you watch on TV in the privacy of your own house? Or what websites do you visit when no one else is around? The Lord Jesus clearly taught in Matthew chapter 5 that lustful thoughts are as sinful as lustful actions, and they lead to God's judgment. Maybe this evening you're still thinking to yourself that none of this applies to you. Well, have a look at verses 29 through to verses 31. It's quite damning, isn't it? Again, like this morning, it comes into a category. We looked at verses 1 and verses 3 of Ephesians chapter 2. There was no getting away from that, and there's no getting away from this tonight. Verses 29 to verses 31, it mentions a list of sins. It mentions what displeases our holy God. You see, God and sin don't mix. Here's a wee experiment for you to try at home. Take a wee bottle of Coke. And leave a wee bit of Coke in it. And pour a wee bit of oil in. And shake it up. It separates. It separates. It doesn't mix. God and sin don't mix. Because God is holy. And friends, if we are honest this evening, there is not one person here who can claim that they have kept God's law. When we look at the Ten Commandments tonight, and of course we're not saved by the law, we're saved by grace. But as you look at the Ten Commandments, it teaches us a lot about God. It teaches us that God is holy. But it also teaches us that we are sinners. Well, hold on a minute, Phil. I haven't murdered anybody. Well, that's a good start. But have you ever hated somebody? Have you really detested somebody? Is that not committing murder in your heart? As I said this morning, sin is twofold. Believer, if we're not showing that compassion and showing that love, then we're just equally as bad. We are sinners. We're committing sin. We're disobeying God. And that's what sin is. Sin is disobeying God. But it's also, if we're not showing that love and we're not showing that passion to people, then we're breaking God's commandments too. We're breaking God's law. We're sinful. You see, friends, the charge that God lays against every person in the world can be summed up in one word. Sin. All of us here this evening have a charge to answer. I wonder tonight, friends, do you realize the seriousness? Do you realize the serious position that you find yourself in? Maybe you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, you've got a problem. You're living under judgment. You're living under His wrath. Isn't that one of the wonderful benefits of being saved? That you can put your head on the pillow at night and know that you're at peace with a holy God. God is angry at sin. And he charges you tonight with having broken his law. We all have broke his law. Each and every one of us. We have the judge. We have the accused. We have the charge. But fourthly, we have the verdict. Because when we look at the Ten Commandments, we realize that we fall short. We fall short of what God expects. We fall short of God's glory. What does Romans chapter 3, verse 23 say? For all have sinned. Doesn't say some have sinned. Doesn't say that this group of people have sinned. Doesn't say that that group of people have sinned. All have sinned. Whether you believe it or not, as I already said, whatever belief system you have, whatever you believe, you are a sinner. And you fall short of what God expects. Your life falls short of God's standards. God has set down in his word the standard for living. But each of us falls short. We are guilty before him. And if you're outside of Christ this evening, you are going to face his punishment. And this is true whether you're living an open, sinful life, such as that lived by some of the people Paul referred to earlier, or whether you're trying your best to live an upright, moral life, whether you're the biggest murderer, or whether you're the biggest churchgoer, you fall short. You are sinful by nature. As I've already said this morning. You see, some of those receiving this letter from Paul would have been Jewish people who prided themselves on keeping God's law. But it doesn't cut the mustard. It doesn't matter how you try to keep God's law. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. It doesn't matter how much money you put into the church. It doesn't matter whether you love your neighbor. It doesn't matter about your good deeds. Friends, they are nothing. They are nothing because all have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. And Paul clearly teaches here in verse 17 through to 24 that in God's eyes, they are sinners. You see, friends, remember, God the judge sees everything. And friends, you can fool people into thinking that you're a Christian. You can come in here with the Bible under your arm. You can look the part. You can say the right things. But friends, you can't fool God. He knows where you stand with him. He knows where you are with him. Friends, if you are depending this evening on your own efforts to please God, it's going to fail. It's going to end in destruction. It's going to fail. And then lastly, the sentence. What is the sentence that awaits those outside of Christ? Well, we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23 at the start of that verse, for the wages of sin is death. We discovered earlier that God is full of wrath at sin. His holiness and justice demand that it must be punished. And so the sentence is a very severe one. Eternal death and separation from God forever. Even in this sentence, we see clearly the justice of God. Sin must be punished. Wrong behavior must be punished. If you break the law in Northern Ireland, you go to court and you stand before the judge. You're the accused. And you get your sentence. And before a holy God tonight, we deserve all we get. All those people who by their own choice have lived their lives without God must spend eternity separated from Him. That's in hell. That's a lost eternity. There's a serious message here tonight, friends. And this is a hard portion of Scripture. This is a hard portion of Scripture to read. But it's God's word tonight, friends. Sin must be punished. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He didn't come just to do good things. He didn't come to be some sort of moral man. He didn't come to defeat the Romans. But He came tonight to be your Savior. He came to take your penalty. All those things listed in Romans 1, He died for them. He died to bring you back to God tonight. Because the sentence is guilty. We are guilty, hell-deserving sinners. And friends, if we don't get right with God tonight, if we don't take this passage of Scripture seriously, if we disregard these pages of Scripture, then it's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to death. It's going to take you away from God. And that's what's wonderful about Romans 6 and 23, because it doesn't end there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the answer to the problem of sin tonight. There's only one way. There's only one way to go. Friends, there's only one God. There's only one gospel. Oh, but Phil, surely there's different ways to heaven. Surely there's different paths to heaven. Friends, on the authority of God's word, there's one way. What does the word of God say in the book of Isaiah? I am the first and I am the last. And what does it say? Besides me, there is no God. There's one God. I read this morning from Acts, nor is there salvation in any other. You see, it's only through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight that we can go free. That the guilty can be found not guilty because of His grace and His mercy. And friends, tonight as we have went through this passage of Scripture, God wants to offer you the gift of eternal life. The perfect Son of God. The perfect sacrifice without blemish died for you and died for me. To take that punishment, to take our sin so that we could go free. You see, it all went wrong in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? I mentioned that this morning as well. And sin came into the world. Friends, we need to come to Jesus tonight. I was thinking about Noah on the way up in the car, on the way down in the car. There was only 8 people saved. God said, come onto the ark. And what a picture of Jesus. That ark was the only way of salvation. It was the only way to go. Noah warned the people. Noah told the people that they were going to be judged, that they were living under judgment, that they were living under wrath, and that they needed to come to God. Only 8 were saved. And people ignore this message. People ignore the gospel. People say the gospel's for dinosaurs. People say the gospel's not for them. Friends, can I say this in love tonight? Life without Jesus makes no sense. Your Creator God tonight wants a relationship with you. And He wants you to be found in Him. Friends, if your life was in danger tonight, we would try to help you. We would try to warn you. We would try to get you onto the right path to get you help. Friends, many tonight will even go further than that, and they will try and get their life insurance sorted. They will try and make plans for the future, but yet they'll neglect their own soul. Friends, tonight, where do you stand with God? What path are you on? As I close this evening, Paul has shown us clearly that in this courtroom of our holy God, everyone stands condemned. But thankfully, that is not the end of the story, because this same God has made a way of escape for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, tonight I want you to consider seriously where you stand before God today. Friends, you have heard the gospel presented tonight. You've sat here perhaps other Sundays and you have heard the gospel being presented. But yet you're not saved. What's the wee plaque on the wall said there at the back? The harvest is past, but we're still not saved. Service after service, you have sat under the gospel. You've sat under the gospel being preached. But yet you're still hard. Yet you're still shaking your fist in defiance towards God. What will make you come, friends? This isn't the church's work. This isn't CEF's work. This is God's work. God is the one that saves. God is the one that convicts. We can't create an anxious thought, but friends, let me say this to you in love tonight. If you are convicted tonight about where you stand with God, don't you walk out of that building. Don't you worry what people think. Maybe you've been bluffing your way in life. Maybe people think you are saved. But you know deep down, as you stand before God, if you were to stand before God, you know that you're not saved. Friends, come to Him today. Because friends, if something was to happen, and you were to go out those doors, and you were to put it off for another week, you could be in the eternity. And then you'll stand before the judge and you will be separated from Him. Tonight, friends, your sin can be forgiven. Your sentence of eternal separation from God can be taken away. And you can be absolutely sure of spending eternity in heaven. How do you respond to such a wonderful message of the precious gospel that Jesus died for sinners? Don't continue in your sin any longer. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and be justified. The judge took the punishment. The judge took the punishment for you and for me. He took the penalty that we deserved. What is your response tonight, friends? If you need to talk to somebody tonight, there's deacons here tonight. There's men at the door here tonight. You seek somebody out. But you know, friends, in respect, these men aren't important. You need to seek the Lord while he may be found. May God bless his word to our hearts this evening. We're going to sing our closing hymn. I'm going to ask James and the musicians to come back. And again, thank you to James and the musicians for leading us tonight.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you tonight for the cross. Thank you that Jesus was made sin for us. Thank you for that sacrificial lamb. But Father, we thank you that that wasn't the end, because 3 days later, he rose again. Father, we just thank you for the gospel. We thank you for what it means to those who are believers in the meeting. And Father, we just pray for some soul that the scales would be removed and that that person would see the light of the world, our great Savior. Father, we thank you for the believer tonight that we stand forgiven. And Father, we just look to you now in these days. Father, we just pray for a great spiritual harvest. We pray, Father God, for men and women, as they've heard the gospel, would come to Christ. We pray for those in the meeting tonight, and maybe even listening at home. Father, we just, as they battle what to do, Father, I pray that they would just come as they are, and they would just be yielded to Jesus. Father, we just commit this time to you now, and take us to your homes in safety, we pray. And Father, we be careful to give you all the praise and to give you all the glory. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do pass becoming common.